April 18th, Job chapter 42.
Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, My anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept his prayer, not to deal with you according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did what the Lord had told them. And the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job, when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters, and all who had known him before, and ate bread with him in his house. And they showed him sympathy, and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money, and a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first daughter Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren Hapuk. And in all the land there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, 4 generations. And Job died, an old man, and full of days.
Beholding God, Mary Wilson. Though Job never rejected God, he questioned God's ways, defended his own righteousness, and demanded God's action. God answered by telling Job to man up and defend himself, and by revealing a vision of his grandeur as creator and judge. With a mighty storm and a whirlwind of questions, God leveled Job. And Job felt his small stature in God's presence. Job then humbly acknowledged God's sovereign power and confessed that he had spoken foolishly. Though he had heard of God, believed in him, and followed his commands, now he saw God. At the point of Job's confession, his fortune had not been returned, nor his family restored, nor his boils removed. Yet he submitted to God's purposes. Job's confession resembles Isaiah's, who cried out when he saw the Lord in glory, Woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Similarly, when we behold Jesus through the gospel, we realize our sinfulness and foolishness. In this critical moment, we dare not commend ourselves to God by standing upon our own goodness. We cling to His mercy by acknowledging His righteousness and confessing our own unrighteousness. God accepted Job's repentance and fully restored his health and fortune. When God judged Job's friends for their evil words, he provided atonement for them in a way that vindicated Job. Contrary to his friends' accusations, God loved Job and had not brought calamity against him to punish him. Job demonstrated his uprightness by extending mercy to the three friends as their advocate, just as God had extended mercy to Job as his advocate. The extent to which we forgive others reveals our grasp of how God has forgiven us. After Job confirmed his repentance by showing mercy, God rained upon him prosperity and honor. Job died a blessed and vindicated man. While we do not always receive such clarity or prosperity from the Lord this side of heaven, even when we suffer terribly, we anticipate lavish blessing from our God that exceeds even the goodness described in Job chapter 42. When Jesus returns, we will see our advocate face to face, and we will know fully, even as we are fully known. As we behold him in truth, our God will purify us completely by his grace, wipe away every tear from our eyes, and invite us to dwell with him in his land of bounty. Because our advocate suffered on our behalf, our suffering in this life, which Paul describes as this light momentary affliction, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17.